welcome to the Mint Podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. This season, we're doing real talk about how we can contend for breakthrough in the most difficult and painful parts of our story. I can't wait to see what God, the commander of heaven's armies, is going to do as we press into him. If you want more of what you hear on the show, there are additional free resources, merchandise, and donation opportunities available at amintageisler.com. We're a listener-funded podcast, and we appreciate your support so much. Let's go run the race. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here with me as we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. We are in a series called Here I Am, and we are studying powerful moments in Scripture when God called people by name to do something difficult, and they responded with Hineni, or Here I Am. Not as a location for God to find them, but as a posture of surrender and obedience before the Lord. Hineni means I'm listening and I'm available to serve you. And it is an incredible stance for us to take in our own faith walk with the Lord, positioning us for breakthrough in the most difficult parts of our stories. So we are studying in this series the five times in Scripture that this is used, this word Hineni. And last week we studied Abraham. Today we are going to study Moses, and I can't wait. Let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. You are such a good God, so gracious with us, so patient with us. And God, you have such good, beautiful plans for redemption for each and every one of our stories. I pray in these next few minutes as we study your word, will you give us eyes that can see you, ears that can hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to follow you. Show us things we have not yet seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time, we talked about how Abraham was called to put his precious son Isaac on the altar, and how we can have a posture of Hineni by putting things on the altar that God asks us to give over to him. So if you missed it, I would encourage you to go back and listen. Because sometimes, like Abraham, our breakthrough comes only when we get to the point of being willing to release our most precious people and possessions onto the altar and give them over to God, and be willing to trust him for a better plan. Sometimes the things that we think we need are not actually the things that we need to be holding on to. Sometimes the very things we need are, we can't get them because the things we're holding are in the way. So this week, we are looking at when God calls Moses's name in Exodus 3. And this is going to be another take on what it means to have that posture of Hineni, or here I am before the Lord. This is a power-packed story, and it's so good. And it's really about learning how to leave our comfort zone and go to the hard places that are really uncomfortable so God can redeem our story. Let's read it together. I'm going to be in Exodus 3, and I always read out of the New Living Translation because I feel like it's just so easy to understand. So if you're following along in your own Bible and you're in a different version, that's okay, totally. But I just want you to know what version I'm in. Exodus 3. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." I mean, maybe it sounded more like Moses. I don't know. The voice of God thunders, right? "Here I am, Hineni," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Pezerites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign. I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." And Moses protested, "But if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they'll ask me, 'What's his name? What should I tell them?'" And God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" Such an amazing story. And also the revelation of God's name, his eternal name, Yahweh, for all generations, and the invitation for Moses to return to Egypt. Now, if you don't know the context of this story, you might not understand the significance of this moment and why Moses then freaks out and starts to backpedal his hineni. This is a huge ask, okay? So Moses was born and raised in Egypt in a time when his people were being killed. And so his mom had saved him, put him in a basket, and put him in the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter, the king himself, had found him and raised him. So Moses had grown up in the palace as royalty. He didn't grow up as slave with his people. He had lived in the palace. And when he got older, he had watched the persecution of his people, and he had watched the slave drivers be hard on his people. And so he had actually killed one of them. And when Pharaoh finds out about it, the very person who's raised him in his castle, right? Pharaoh's daughter had raised him. So he'd lived with Pharaoh, tries to kill him. And because Moses has committed murder, he just takes off. Like, there's no good. This is not going to end well for him. This is kind of the point of his biggest failure. He sheds blood with his own hands. God wasn't calling him to do that. And then he gets in trouble and he has to flee. So he runs and he hides far away in this town of Midian. And when he gets to Midian, he meets a man named Jethro, who takes him in, and he gets all settled and he helps him tend to his flocks as a shepherd. So he goes from palace royalty, huge screw up, falling out, runs to the middle of nowhere and becomes a shepherd, and then marries Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, and they has a child, and he lives for 40 years. So he just settles right into his new life, forgets about his former life and all that's going on with his people and the murder and everything. And he just hides out, but he builds a life for himself for 40 years. And then at the ripe old age of 80, so everybody listening, there's no excuse for you to say the word hineni. You are not too old. Moses was old. Abraham was old. They were both well on in their years when God asked them to have this hineni moment. Here I am. They think he was 80 at the time of the burning bush. So he's going along, tending to his flocks like a good shepherd does. And then he's got his and then moment with the Lord. And God shows up with a big ask. Go back and free the people from Pharaoh's slavery. Now, think about this. Moses is being asked to return to the place of his greatest failure. There's a lot of pain and heartache that he had to run away from. I'm sure he's terrified of what will happen when he goes back. Who remembers that he's a murderer? And I'm sure he felt hugely unequipped for this task. He has been in the middle of nowhere for 40 years tending sheep. You want me to go back to Pharaoh, to his palace, speak with royalty, demand the release of my people, even though I'm a criminal, and expect that that's going to go well? Yeah, I don't think so. So Moses hesitates, but in the end he goes. So I just want to pause and acknowledge this, because hineni is not easy. And the thing about when it's used in scripture is that at the times that we're talking about it, 4 out of the 5 times, the response of the person when they say, "Here I am, God, hineni, I'm available and ready to serve you," is before they know what God's going to ask. But it's also the response after too. But it's before they know. It's just this sign of faith that you trust God enough that no matter what's about to follow, you're ready and available to serve him. However, Moses has a little hesitation moment and he begs for God to change his mind. So this is not the prettiest carryout. Sometimes serving the Lord is not easy. Sometimes we feel like failures. Sometimes we feel totally inadequate. And then we make excuses to the Lord and we beg him to change his mind and please don't make me do this, because it seems overwhelming to us, or because it's too painful to go back there, or because we don't feel like we're going to be good. We're so scared we're going to fail. So sometimes that hineni posture before the Lord is scary, but Moses does it. In the end, he does it. He's got Aaron to go with him. God had to give him a sidekick because he couldn't do it by himself, but he returns and he attempts the impossible and God uses it. And God uses everything in his life, even his failures, to equip him to do it. See, Moses was raised in a palace, so he actually did know how to be among royalty. And he was a shepherd for 40 years, so he knew how to lead people in the desert for those 40 years that they wandered in the desert. But Moses had to be willing to step out of his comfort zone, revisit the hardest part about his past, and take a role he was totally equipped to do. This was not easy. God does have a calling on your life, friends, but the carryout of it is probably going to make you sweat and a little bit nauseous and terrified that you're going to fail. God calls us to go out of our comfort zone, but he doesn't leave us alone to do it on our own. See, sometimes your hineni to God might mean that he's asking you, and he's going to do it with you, but he's asking you to go to counseling and to revisit some painful parts of your past that are preventing you from experiencing breakthrough and freedom in your current situation. He might be asking you to face and work through some buried trauma and need to forgive somebody who maybe doesn't even deserve it. He might want you to face what you don't want to face or return somewhere you don't want to go because you're avoiding it. Or it might mean God asks you to do something and you're so scared because you know you're not qualified, but he's asking you to do it and you're like, "Oh, but no, I have no idea how to do that. I really feel like God, you should choose somebody else." Or maybe once God reveals what it is, you're like, "Oh yeah, no, you know, I have this little comfort zone that I like to live in, and that's just a little too far out of my comfort zone. I could never do that." But that's what hineni requires. And I had to do this last year. God invited me to go back into my story, into my past, and work through some of the most painful parts. I got to work through trauma. I got to forgive those who had hurt me. And it was so painful. And it was so uncomfortable and it was terrifying, but I had to do that instead of burying it. So my hineni meant that I spent hours in counseling and journaling and going for walks and crying and praying. And right now my hineni is doing what feels nearly impossible. Like, "God, how can you be calling me to do this? I'm sick. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I live in a fixer-upper. I have a full-time ministry. I'm trying to do side jobs. We got to finish our house and we need you to sell it. And this is overwhelming and I can't do it. I'm not equipped to this. I can't do it. It's too much." But sometimes he calls us into the uncomfortable. And I want to share how else we're kind of working through this and try to be respectful of my husband and his journey too. But God is calling him into the uncomfortable right now with his hineni. And what I think is so interesting, I shared in the first episode of this series, is that our initial hineni meant that we had to put our house on the altar. And now God is kind of putting us in a hineni moment again. And my husband is a teacher and a football coach. He coached for about 24 years. And then last year he took a break and he went into construction. He did that for a year. And at the end of a year really felt like, "Nope, God is calling me to go back into teaching." And so he called his principal, and wouldn't you know it, the day before, the person who took his job had stepped down. So his job was available and he went back into it. And he had come to me earlier in the year and he said, "I really feel like God's calling me back into coaching." And I was like, "Well, isn't that interesting?" Because about 4 years ago, he decided he was pretty much done with that whole head coaching thing. And if you have never heard our story, instead of sharing the full thing right now, I'm just going to invite you to push pause, go back and listen to season one, episode two. It was only the second episode we ever did. But as we were launching the podcast, our world was kind of collapsing. And Ben went from being a head football coach, a very successful 11-1 head football coach, to unemployed. And it was a hard journey. A lot of really hard things were said about him that were not true. And he had to take a step back. And with our Hineni and putting the house on the altar these last few weeks, some coaching opportunities have come up. And it's like Ben is being asked to revisit his past in the place of what he would perceive is a failure, even though it wasn't, and where there's a lot of pain. And for him to say yes to coaching again involves him kind of having a Moses moment where he has to work it out with God of, I have no desire to go back there. It was too painful. It was too hard. I don't feel equipped to do this again, God. But for the Lord to just say, but will you do it? Will you put it on the altar? Are you willing to go back there? Are you willing to put yourself out there? And it can be so scary. It can be so difficult. And I'm so proud of my husband for pressing into what the Lord has and pressing into scripture and taking steps of faith. And I have no idea what's going to happen or where we're going to end up. But this whole posture of Hineni, I just think is so interesting how doors are opening that were not open. You know, in the last few years of we've lived in our house, there hasn't really been coaching opportunities. And then now, since putting the house on the altar, those doors are opening, which I don't think is a coincidence. And so just to encourage you, that posture of Hineni is hard. You might have to put something you love on the altar, or God might call you to go like Moses back into the most painful part of your story, but he will not leave you alone. He gave Moses Aaron, which was amazing. He got a sidekick, but also he was with him, and he did miraculous things on his behalf in those times. We read about some of God's most famous miracles, the plagues, the manna, the fire of his presence, the cloud of his presence, all those things that he did for his people and he did for Moses. Moses was never alone. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you realize that your Hineni is stopped by something in your past and you walking that out, there's God's asking you to do something you don't know that you could go back and work through, or you're not sure you're equipped to go forward. It's calling you to be out of your comfort zone. I just want to encourage you. He's not going to make you do it alone. He's going to work on your behalf. He's going to provide helpers for you, and you can do it. So how do we practically learn to leave our comfort zones when our Hineni leads to that? Well, number one, and this is like always my number one, if you haven't picked up on this, but pray. Okay, prayer is such a powerful invitation to the Lord to come into our lives and do it his way. So pray and ask God to reveal his plan to you, even if it's uncomfortable. You gotta just ask him to call your name, right? Lord, I want to say Hineni to you. Show me anywhere in my story where I am like Moses and I need to go back and revisit it so you can work out the redemption, or where I'm too afraid to do it because I'm out of my comfort zone. Lord, call me to that thing that I'm afraid of. Show me what it is so that I can start to work through it. Because I do believe that that is part of our breakthrough. That is part of us moving forward. God is a redeemer, and he wants to redeem those hard parts of our stories. He leaves no stone unturned. If there's part of your past that is preventing freedom and healing and joy in your future, he's going to go back and fix it. If Moses had said no, if Moses hadn't gone back, that part of his story never would have been redeemed. It wouldn't have made sense to him. He wouldn't have experience the power of God in the way that he did. So that's number one. Number two, don't be afraid to get counseling or a life coach or a spiritual mentor to just talk with you and work it through you. It's really hard to work through these things alone. And this is why we're meant to do the faith journey together, because we sometimes can't see things, or we need help moving through things or moving past things. And we need actually somebody who's trained or who has more life experience than us to help hold our hand and guide us through. When I was walking through my stuff last year, I had a counselor and a life coach and a spiritual mentor. I had all three of those things. So I had very godly women pouring into me and cheering for me and helping me. And I needed all three of them to get through it. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Number three, bring everything to the cross and lay it down. Is there something about your past that you're hiding? Is there something you don't want to talk about or you're running from? Is there something that you just feel so much fear or such a sense of failure that you just can't even bring yourself to talk about it with people? The first step in stepping out of the comfort zone, getting over it, is acknowledging that it's there. So you just might have something that you need to acknowledge is there. Number four, learn to embrace being uncomfortable. Okay? We all like to be comfortable. This is what's so funny about us as human beings is we seek comfort, and God so often calls us to the uncomfortable. He's not really worried about our comfort. Sorry to burst your bubble. God loves you so much. He has good things for your life. Being comfortable is never promised in the Bible ever, 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 ever. And so taking steps to be uncomfortable and learning how to do it is great because it's hard to make big leaps. So if you can do daily small acts of uncomfortability, then it'll help you, right? So in our culture today, what are we told to seek? Comfort. That means and translates to having lots of money, to buying a big, beautiful house, to driving a nice car with seat heaters and a heated steering wheel if you live in Minnesota. That is getting a good job and getting a promotion and having a 401k and going on good vacations. And it says that's what you seek. Seek comfortability. And God says, oh, no, no, no. And so we can find ways to be uncomfortable. Start sharing and being vulnerable. Instead of putting out the Instagram version of yourself, put out the real version of yourself for people to see. Try asking for help. Oh, I just lost half of you. I can tell. It's such a hard thing, but don't be afraid to ask for help and say, hey, I'm struggling here. I feel inadequate or I need help. Go to counseling. I know I talked about this in step number two, but this is a small step towards learning to be uncomfortable. If you've never been, counseling is intensely uncomfortable. It is awkward, but it's helpful. Give up something comfortable. Give away some money to somebody who needs it. Sell your big house and buy a smaller one. Well, that's kind of a big step, but give away some money. Go serve in a position at church that you're like, ooh, I don't want to be on the greeting team. You have to like talk to people you don't know and I'm introverted. Go do it. You can do it. It is the first step for God to be able to help you do big, uncomfortable things. One thing I always recommend people start with too is invite your neighbors to church. Start talking to your neighbors about God and church. Most of us would rather die than do this, right? No, like I'm just going to live in my neighborhood and let my neighbors be, and we're not going to talk about religion or politics because that just leads to fighting, and I don't want them to think I'm weird, and I want to have a good neighborhood vibe. Okay, but if the Lord returned today and all your neighbors went to hell, how would you feel then? I'm just saying, start to get uncomfortable, invite them over and pray before a meal. Bring them brownies and just tell them God told was put you on their heart, put them on your heart, said that backwards, and that you just care about them and give them the brownies. Invite them to come to Easter Sunday with you. Most people will come when they're invited. It's like 80% of people who come to church for the first time come because they got a personal invitation at like Christmas and Easter. So invite them to come. It's uncomfortable. If you've never talked to your coworkers or your neighbors about God, it's like, oh, this is so awkward. But you got to learn to start being in the uncomfortable. Start talking about, oh, I went to church yesterday. It was so good. And it just always starts my week off so good. And then I feel so hopeful and joyful to start the week. That's all you have to say. And I guarantee you half your coworkers are going to be like, well, I want that. I just have the Sunday scaries. So just start taking small steps of being uncomfortable to build those muscles for the future big things. Number five, find an errand. Okay. You need somebody who believes in you and will assist you when you need help. And sometimes that's easier when you have a buddy. We all need a buddy. I have buddies. I'm sitting in my room with my podcast buddy, right? I don't do this on my own. I have Annie. She's amazing. Sometimes we just need somebody to give us a push when we're hesitating or to hold us accountable or to just believe in us, okay? Because here's what I don't want. I don't want your past or the avoidance of it or your feelings of inadequacy or fear to stop the breakthrough that God wants to be doing in your life. There is freedom ahead for you. There is purpose ahead for you. The power of the Lord is available to you. And if we do not press through that uncomfortableness that Moses had to do, it's okay. He hesitated, right? But God still used him. God provided a way. If we don't press through that, we might miss out on our breakthrough. Friends, Hineni is not easy. It is so difficult, but it's such an important posture for us to take before the Lord. So join me next time. We are going to read the story of Samuel. I love it so much. And learn about his Hineni. Let's pray. God, you are so good. And we love you so much. And Lord, I know you see each and every one of us. You see the story that we are walking out because you have written it. And Lord, you also see the points of our biggest failure, of our biggest pain, of the times we feel like we've fallen short, the places where we feel inadequate. And Lord, I know that you see those places and your desire is to come into those places and turn them for your good and use them and to redeem them. So God, I just pray you'd give us the courage like Moses, even if we hesitate to say Hineni and follow through on it. Give us the courage to ultimately do it. Provide all that we need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus, that we might be able to, with your help, walk forward into the fullness of our inheritance as your child. We love you, God, and we are so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to the Mint Podcast. More resources are available at amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together.